Thanks for listening to the Friday Live Extra from NET Radio, a weekly podcast featuring arts and humanities in Nebraska, and an online-only feature we produce in conjunction with our weekly radio show, Friday Live. I'm Genevieve Randall, and this week on the podcast, a little bit later, we'll talk with Bill Wyman about two very special guests on the first Friday concert on the St. Paul Music and Arts Series in Lincoln. But we will start this week with Christmas events in Brownville, including a Christmas gala on the Brownville Concert Series featuring Tammy McCann for three performances, December 6th, 7th, and 8th in Brownville. I'm joined by Tammy by phone. Tammy, so nice to meet you.
It's so great to meet you too, Genevieve. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And then Jan Wright is here with us as well. Nice to see you again, Jan.
Oh, I love being here.
All right. Well, so this Christmas gala, every year you have something spectacular planned. So Jan, let's start with how you pulled this particular Christmas gala together. How did you find Tammy McCann and her two musicians coming with her for this performance?
Well, interestingly enough, I found Tammy McCann at the New York Cabaret Convention 3 years ago, and I was so impressed with her and managed to get her to come to Brownville April 2018 and found out that she had a fabulous Christmas show as well. And I thought, well, you know, we're supposed to wait 2 years before we have someone back. So she's at the end of this year. So, you know, it's close, but it's a fabulous show. I can't wait to see it.
Well, Tammy, I'm excited to learn about who you're bringing with you and how you pulled this Christmas gala together. Tell us a little bit about your program.
Well, I'm so excited to share Merry Christmas, Baby, with my Brownville family. I feel as if they're family now because the moment I stepped into Brownville, I just fell in love with just the idyllic setting and all the wonderful warm people. Merry Christmas, Baby is a show that I have pulled together with my fellow Chicagoans. You know, John Weber, who happens to live in New York City and has thrived there for many years, was also a Chicagoan, and so that's how we initially met many years ago. And I also am going to be featuring Mr. Paul Marinaro, who is a wonderful, wonderful jazz vocalist, cabaret, jazz. I mean, you name it, he can do it, big band. And I told Jan about him, and I said I'd really love to bring him in and introduce him to the Brownville audiences. So we've got a really wonderful show planned with some of your favorites and also some new tunes. There's going to be one tune called Christmas Surprise, written by Billy Strayhorn for Lena Horne back in 1964. Now, this song has only been performed in public twice, and so this will be the Brownville premiere of A Christmas Surprise by Billy Strayhorn. It's really exciting.
Well, Tammy, so how do you and Paul work this out? Are there duets? Do you guys kind of trade off? How have you put together the program?
Well, Paul is really excited to be featured on the show. The show will be mostly music by me, and Paul and I are going to come in and do some duets as well, and then I'm also going to be featuring him on some solo.
Now, Tammy, I read that you started out in classical music, and then jazz stole your heart. I want to know the story there.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, I was a classical vocalist. I got a scholarship to college for classical voice. I didn't know who Ella or Sarah or Dinah or Duke Ellington, I didn't know who any of these people were. And one day I was just walking down the hallway and I passed by a practice room on the university campus and there was a young man playing piano and I was like, wow, that is really interesting. I was like, who is the composer? You know, is that Bizet? And he looked at me and he's like, no, this is Thelonious Monk. I said, who's Thelonious Monk? And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I was just so fascinated by the pulse, the form, the energy of the music. And so I came back home to Chicago and I went searching for it. And I found it in this little bar on the south side of Chicago, coming out of the horn of Von Freeman, who was an NEA jazz master, tenor saxophonist. And he took me under his wing. And from him, I was given many wonderful opportunities to perform with different masters in the music. So from Mr. Freeman, I worked with Ramsey Lewis, also a Chicago legend. And then I became a Raylet with Ray Charles and, you know, then touring with my own groups throughout Europe. And so it's really been a journey of excitement and love, and I can't even imagine. I actually have a tippy toe in gospel, a tippy toe in classical, and, you know, then also in jazz. So I always try to blend all of them together, so whenever I can.
Yeah, I wondered about that. If your, you know, classical studies, or as you mentioned, you know, your work in gospel music as well, if some of those disciplines inform each other, if you take elements from some of those and bring it to your jazz performances.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I wasn't really cognitive of is the fact that vocally, it's as though my brain will take all of those influences. And as I'm singing a song, draw from a gospel feel or a classical feel, whatever is needed to inform the music and enhance the experience for the audience. My largest goal is to make a connection. You know, I want to take the listener on a journey through the music, and I want to draw out a memory. I want to draw out an experience that they had before, and I want them to take the music with them when they go, you know, and I want it to really enhance their experience.
Well, Christmas time music is certainly a time to bring up those memories as well. I'm curious, Tammy, is there a particular Christmas song that brings up a memory for you that you'd be willing to share?
Oh my goodness, I am the wrong person to ask, because you need to understand, if I could sing Christmas in July, I would. I wait all year for Christmas music because I love it so much. I think the one that really touches me the most is the woman that had the most influence on me, and that's Judy Garland. And her Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I remember being a young girl and listening to her sing this song, and she's the woman that shaped my identity as far as what is a singer. This is before I knew what jazz was. So it was Judy Garland, Barbara Streisand. These are the women that shaped my ideal about what a singer is supposed to sound like, what that connection is supposed to be like, and that Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is something that is just etched on my memory and on my musical psyche from the time I was a child.
Well, Tammy, I'm so much looking forward to having you back in Nebraska, joining your Brownville family again, all the way from Chicago.
Thanks.
And Jan, I know that after Tammy's third performance, there's another event that's going on at the Muir House, a beautiful historic house that's just across from the usual concert venue for the Brownville Concert Series. And it's a fundraiser. What's going on, and what do the funds allow you to do?
Well, I wish you could come, because we are renovating the concert hall. It was donated to us 3 years ago by Jim and Ruth Keene. Our founder, Jim Keene, who passed away last year, very sadly. But he wanted his legacy to live on, and this is going to be our 30th season next year. But we had to bring everything up to code because it was a 30-year-old building. So we've had to undertake a massive renovation on it. And the good news is we are almost there, not only in terms of the construction, which I was hoping it would be finished by this Christmas show, but I did not get that Christmas wish. But that's all right. It is looking gorgeous on the outside, and we're really just adding on to it. And we have managed to raise 80% of the funds that we need to do the building, to redo the building, which is phenomenal, considering Brownville's a little town of 120 people. Of course, we do have a fairly wide audience, which helps.
Yeah.
And so this, we are going to have a capital campaign bash at 4:30 on Sunday. And at the Muir House, the historic Muir House, we've got a 5-star menu planned for that with festive holiday libations. And so food and drinks will be flowing, and hopefully the money as well. We have giving levels all the way for a wheelchair lift to an engraved brick with your name on it. And so we're very excited about that. We still have tickets available for that. Our Sunday show is sold out, but we still have tickets for Friday and Saturday. And we do have a waiting list in case anybody cancels for the Sunday show, but you'd have to call the box office.
And briefly, Jan, while we have you, there's other Christmas events going on in Brownville, too.
As a matter of fact, the Brownville Village Theater is doing a Christmas Carol radio play, and they're fabulous. They're doing it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you can check their website. They do a great job. It's fun.
All right. Well, we'll make sure we have links to more information about everything going on in Brownville. And just to repeat, the concert's coming up, the Christmas Gala on the Brownville Concert Series. That's three performances by Tammy McCann. She's joined by John Weber and Paul Molinaro, and that's December 6th, 7th, and 8th. So Friday and Saturday at 7:30.
And tickets available.
And then that Sunday show, as we mentioned, was sold out. So Friday and Saturday it is, right?
Right. And also Sunday, if you just want to come to a big party, that'd be great.
There you go. All right. Well, Jan Wright with the Brownville Concert Series, thank you so much for coming to our studios today.
You're very welcome. I love it.
And Tammy McCann, I loved hearing your story about your musical journey and can't wait to have you back in Nebraska. Thanks for joining us today.
Genevieve, thank you so much for your kindness and generosity of spirit. I can't wait to see you guys.
Every time we say goodbye, I die a little. Every time we say goodbye, I wonder why a little.
In this second part of our podcast this week, I'm joined by Bill Wyman, who is interim curator for the St. Paul Music and Arts Series at St. Paul in downtown Lincoln. For First Friday in December, it's a duo. We will hear William McMullen and Catherine Herbner playing together on one stage. Those concerts always start at 12:10, giving people a time downtown there to get down from lunch. And there's also artwork in Payne Parlor. Bill, great to see you again.
Good to see you, Genevieve.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
Well, so William McMullen and Catherine Herbner, longtime musicians in the city of Lincoln.
Yes.
And those who are familiar with the Moran Woodwind Quintet, which is the resident woodwind quintet at UNL's Glencorp School of Music, they may know that William McMullen also teaches oboe there. What else can you tell us about him as an oboe player and musician?
Well, Bill has quite an impressive history. Doctorate from Juilliard, and while he was at Juilliard, he was doing substitute work at the New York Philharmonic, and he actually played under the baton of Leonard Bernstein. So,
amazing.
Yeah, you know, he comes through some pretty impressive situations. But you're right, he is a member of the Moran Wind Quintet at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. He's the oboe instructor there. He also is the principal oboist for Lincoln Symphony. He also does frequent substitute work for Omaha Symphony. So he's busy.
So we've got a top-notch musician there, and accompanied by Catherine Herbner, who was a member of the Bachman Trio, who teaches and performs regularly. I think is involved in Rocky Ridge Music Festival.
Has been.
Has been. Yes. And they've recorded CDs together of 20th century music.
Yes. And, yes. So. Kathy is also on the faculty of Concordia Seward. She has been for a number of years. She was for many years on the faculty of Rocky Ridge, as was Bill. Mm-hmm. The two of them have done a lot of duos. They have many runouts to other academic institutions. And Kathy is a frequent accompanist for things at the university. So both of them are fairly high-profile musicians and have made a fairly substantial impact on the musical scene here in Lincoln.
So I remember Bill McMullen from college, and I remember hearing Catherine play, too, listening to them play it sounds like it's just effortless for them. I'm excited to know if you know what they've programmed for this particular
concert. It's a very fascinating program, Genevieve, and I'm really excited about it. A little more than a year ago, the church acquired a new Becker two-manual concert harpsichord. And that was through the efforts of Dick Morris, who was organist there for a number of years, and I was thrilled to work with him. He was really wonderful. So I've been eager to showcase that instrument in some way, and this concert is going to be nothing but harpsichord oboe. They're all 18th century works, but of great variety, some Handel, some Geminiani, a French piece, but all of them feature that combination of oboe, harpsichord. And so given the acoustic of St. Paul, given that concert instrument, this I think is going to be a really fine recital and very unusual. Because, you know, they usually perform piano oboe. Mm-hmm. But this, because of the quality of the instrument we have at the church, they've programmed a piece from each of the decades of the 18th century. So it really is going to be a fascinating recital.
Well thought out, it sounds like.
Yes, indeed.
And you mentioned the space. It really does have a beautiful sound in St. Paul.
It does. You know, there are a lot of good spaces around Lincoln. Certainly First Plymouth is thought of as a fine space. I am a little biased to St. Paul, obviously. I've worked there for 41 years. But I think especially since we did the renovation of the sanctuary, it's such a warm, affirming, and honest acoustic. And as a longtime musician, 44 years at Wesleyan, I prefer an acoustic that doesn't muddy up what we're trying to do. And so we've sung in major cathedrals all over the world with the Wesleyan Choir. That's a fun experience in and of itself. But St. Paul presents a room that is really very honest. It's going to give it warmth, but it's not going to cover up detail. And so I really like that.
Well, and just to survey a little bit of the history of the space, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Lincoln Symphony Orchestra started in that space, was their first space to perform in.
They did.
And that harpsichord you mentioned is one of four keyboards available there, if you count the bells as a keyboard.
That's right.
Which are named the McKinley Bells because they were donated during the time of McKinley's presidency.
They were actually given to the community by the city of Lincoln. It is not an electronic carillon. It is a mechanical action. So it would be analogous to, say, a tracker organ where it's not electronically conceived. So if you go up in the bell tower, you see these long poles that have to be manipulated in order, and they're huge.
Yeah.
If you're up there, you don't want to get under one of them and if they're going to fall.
Right.
We just had a major refurbishing, so
wow.
a lot of good things have happened. But yeah, I'm feeling really good about leaving St. Paul in the condition it's in, because as a part of the time I've been there, brand new pipe organ, now a 52 rank Bedient. We added two ranks since it was initially installed. This two manual concert harpsichord. We have a really fine 9-foot concert Yamaha piano, which is out of the Yamaha Concert Artist Collection, and we have those McKinley Bells.
Yeah.
So the church really has been a major driving force in offering opportunities, not only with those various possibilities, but as a concert site, not just for things of the church, but things for the community.
Yeah.
So, for example, there's a chamber ensemble from UNL that's going to be doing a concert there Tuesday night. And so we frequently will have undergraduate and graduate recitals in organ, voice, piano, just because of the acoustics and the availability of the space and the quality of the instruments.
And this particular series is music and art. And another piece of history there is that as you sit in the sanctuary, to your left-hand side, there's a room called Payne Parlor, which, for those who remember Miller and Payne, the Payne is the same Payne of Miller and Payne, right? Named for that gentleman. So do you have information about the art that's there this month?
Yes. It's an artist made available to the church by Noyce Gallery. Mm-hmm. And this is is a single artist show, and she has some very interesting works there. Linda Ficky, I believe, is the name. Mm-hmm. But we have tried to attract a variety of artists for that show, just like we've tried to attract a variety of artists for the concert part of it. And then you can also eat.
Yeah.
Small fee will get you lunch. So if you're in the business community down there and you want to slip away over your lunch hour, you can eat, you can hear the concert, you can see the art show. 12:10 is the starting time, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It culminates at 12:50. So we try to fit into the lunch hour. And this has worked very successfully for us.
All right. Music at 12:10. Lunch available afterwards for...
And before.
And
starts
before.
Start at 11:30.
Okay. So lunch starting at 11:30. You could have lunch then or after the concert at 12:50.
Yes.
Right. And there's also Art in Pain Parlor. And William McMullen, along with Catherine Herbner, are performing for the first Friday here in December, December 6th. Bill Wyman, always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Genevieve. It's always a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
The Friday Live Extra is a weekly podcast from NET Radio. Production help from Dave Hughes. Our theme music is by Alexios Anest. You can learn more about people and groups involved in arts and humanities in Nebraska by listening to Friday Live, broadcast statewide each week on NET Radio, streaming audio and video online at netnebraska.org, and also available as a podcast. I'm Genevieve Randall.